talking, those who are not of our tradition and faith, feel that it may bring some people back to the church and may help others to seek the truth and come to understand the church and her teaching in a new way. Now, I promised a few weeks ago that I would deal with the annulment and the regulations, but our diocese has not published them yet, so I don't have the full picture. And even though the gospel today is a perfect example of gospel to talk about, I'm going to defer and I'll do that at another time because I don't have all the information. And rather, I'll deal more with the first reading from the book of Genesis, which Jewish sages wrote in a series of meditations on the origin of the universe and of the creation of humankind. And of course, they were doing so millions of years after the event. So they didn't intend either a historic or a scientific account of those events, but rather they were conveying some very basic truths about God and about the beginning of creation and time. It was a popular Jewish form of writing that was employed, setting forth very profound truths in a very simple form of storytelling. Everything happened, they told us, because of a caring and loving God. With the beginning, will that all things be so. All that happened comes from a personal love and inner drive of God to share himself. God did not create anything by chance. Everything was purposefully made, especially man and woman. They were created in God's own image and in his likeness so that he could share with them and in a way that he didn't with any of the other creatures that were created. He breathed his life, the book of Genesis tells us, only into man and into woman, not into the other creatures. Note that the creation of man was prior to the creation of all other forms of life. God breathed his spirit, his very life and his love, into humankind. And God then created a garden and all the other wonderful creations that are found in the universe and in the world. God wanted, obviously, the best for man. And then God said that it wasn't good that man should be alone. God, in his all-knowing mind and way, knew all things until the end of time. And he knew that men couldn't really take care of themselves, cook, clean, keep house. Especially when they went out driving in their automobiles, they would get lost. Didn't they ask directions? I'm joking, of course. 99% true, though. So God brought before, I see the nudges, God brought before Adam all the different creatures of the earth for Adam to name them. But none of them could complement or overcome Adam's aloneness. But notice that God didn't go back to the soil in order to create this partner. No. God went into Adam's very person, into his own nature and form, into that part of man, or Adam, closest to his heart. He took a rib, and out of this God fashioned a woman. And in that moment, Adam realized that his aloneness had been overcome and that he was now complete. He had found in her the other half of his heart and his soul. And so he gave her the name woman. His other half. Interesting that husbands very often refer to their wives as their better half. That's where it comes from. Back in my own country, my father, Lord rest him, and others, I often heard them, if they were asked a question or something that he didn't particularly know, maybe just the time of day, he would say, "Go ask the woman." It was an endearing way of referring to my mother, his wife, the woman. God in his very nature, of course, wasn't a God of solitude. So he was driven to share that love with us. He couldn't keep it to himself. So God so loved the world that he sent his only son, his beloved son, the scriptures tell us, making man and woman with an inner drive to find themselves in each other, each finding their self in the other. God was expressing in our humanity his own inner reality, a reality that he is love, for God is love. We are made to reflect that love and to belong. And in belonging to each other, we mirror that belonging in God. This part of the book of Genesis, the beginning of the book of Genesis, we have an extract from it today, not the whole part, is a very powerful and beautiful story told by sages of old. And in time became part of God's own work. It was obviously a story and stories that were passed on from generation to generation. It was given to us to help us to gain insight and understanding about the relationship of life and love that we refer to in the covenant of marriage. Union of a man and a woman. A union that is intimate and sacred and of divine origin. And it doesn't stop there. To this most sacred of unions, God the Creator shared with humankind the gift and the power of his own creative power and made man and woman co-creators, sharers in his divine work of continuing human race. He commanded, increase and multiply and fill the earth. By this command, God was blessing the work of his co-creators. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, earlier this year, spoke about, I quote, the sacredness of each human person. As he explained, living life means always taking care of the other, wanting the best for them, cultivating and respecting her transcendent dignity. Close quote. Our dignity is a dignity that is rooted in the fact that we were created in love and redeemed in love by this very God himself. And regardless of circumstances, this dignity cannot be decreased. Pope Francis went on then, raising a very challenging question to each, a need to consider seriously in recognizing the inestimable value of human life. We must also reflect on how we use it. Our Holy Father said, life is first and foremost a gift. How do we use it? I dare say, if any person fully understood and appreciated the gift of life, then there would be no need for abortion clinics or execution chambers or prisons or any such places. For all would have a value of life, and they would cherish the gift that is so precious that God has given. But unfortunately, today we are far from there. And so it is necessary, or not necessary, to have laws. And unfortunately, some of those laws make killing legal. Today, my dear friends, is Respect Life Sunday across the United States. This program was begun by the bishop in 1972. Because it became necessary to call attention to numerous life issues that threaten the sanctity and dignity of human life. This year's theme is, each of us is a masterpiece of God's creation. Each of us is a masterpiece of God's creation. Imagine yourself pausing for a quiet moment in front of a beautiful piece of art. And just think of the artist who created that masterpiece with painstaking care and precision. Each of us is a masterpiece created by God and by parents who were endowed with the gift of being co-creators. We were created with care and precision. We were created with purpose and tenderness. We are each of such great value that we can never really comprehend it. Abortion, euthanasia, other evils of our time are wrong and indeed greatly sinful and are the end result of a society that sees less and less value in human life and suffering. Pope Francis has called abortion the product of a widespread mentality of profit, the throwaway culture, which today has enslaved the hearts and minds of so many. The two issues that spring from this, the first, abortion itself, a direct attack on human life in its most vulnerable condition. And secondly, is the now standard practice of obtaining fetal organs and tissues through abortion. Both these practices fail to respect the humanity and the dignity of human life. Our Holy Father so beautifully, in his contact with persons, has cultivated the world with his humanity and his compassion. He shows through his actions that even the most vulnerable, the sick, the unborn, the old, the poor, the imprisoned, are all masterpieces, each and all of God's creation. Made in God's image and likeness, destined to live with God forever, and deserving the utmost reverence and respect. For those who have unfortunately procured abortion and live with that guilt, the Church reaches out to them in such efforts and programs as Project Rachel, Rachel's Vineyard, which are healing ministries of the Church, which can lead to celebrating God's mercy and love through the sacrament of reconciliation. You heard in recent weeks where the Holy Father changed the discipline with regard to priests hearing confession of such. Abortion is no longer a reserved sin, meaning that it's not reserved for the bishop, which was the case before, in some dioceses. Now that when that sin is confessed by a penitent, the priest hearing that sin can absolve that penitent there and then. Now, if you need more information or would like to talk about this in any way or seek counsel, council, any of us priests in the area would be happy to help you in any way that we can. Finally then, to invite you and encourage you to gather with us this afternoon from 3:30 for a life chain, which is on Abercorn Street. We gather in there by Best Buy. You know where Best Buy is there, over by the mall. You can park in the area of Best Buy, and then we are right there on the right-hand side of Abercorn Street as you go out. We gather to show our support for life issues. We gather to show the need to change hearts and minds. Above all, let us continue to pray. Pray for those who are in need of God's mercy and forgiveness in the sacrament of reconciliation. Those who need the courage to come forth and